to fight to the place in our trial, in our struggle, to say, it is well with my soul. Why is that so hard? Why is that so difficult? To go hour after hour, week, day after day, sometimes week after week, and God forbid, month after month, realizing that my relationship with Christ, that my life bought with the blood of Jesus and has redeemed me and has placed this good news in me, that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that good news is so great and so wonderful that it pales to any other kind of news, good or bad. Why is that so difficult? Why is it difficult for us to find the place of peace when everything's not only chaotic in the world, but it seems chaotic in our lives? Because as I look at Scripture and I see what God's promised, I say it ought not be. I'm not saying that we don't walk in concern. I don't say that we don't get troubled sometimes. And I'm not saying that we get to places that are hard and difficult and we grieve over loss and we wonder what's going on and we're asking the questions, but we're asking the good and right questions. And we get to that place to say, you know what? Hands down, it's awful out here, it's hard right there, but in my soul, it is well. Let me ask you, church, don't you want to get to that place a lot quicker than you've been getting there before? Is that right? Don't you? Because when you finally get to that place, there's a peace, there's a release that comes in your heart that says, God has this, that God is Lord. He is in control, and it is well with my soul. Matter of fact, when I say it is well with my soul, it brings a smile in the midst of things that should be making me sad. This is how great God is. God wants to bring you to the place like a Job and like the guy that wrote this hymn, having lost three daughters at sea and going back from England to Chicago or Chicago to England and asking the captain, where did they drown? And he said, right here. And he penned these words. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Here's a man that lost everything in the Chicago fire. And then lost three girls at sea and would say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about this war that we're in, this war with the enemy, this Christian walk, this journey that often finds itself in a fight. And I'm going to tell you this is a fight. To get to the place to say and to experience my faith, and then God ministering to you to be able to say, it is well with my soul. I think it's really interesting because when you look at this, the things that we've been looking at in Ephesians chapter 6, and go on and turn there for just a moment. We'll be looking at having shod your feet with the gospel, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's interesting to me because when you look at warfare and you look at these armor, this armor that we've been looking at over the past few weeks, and he puts in right dab in the middle of it, peace as a weapon. Did you understand? He's saying peace is a weapon against the enemy. And you're to shod your feet with peace. You're to put on peace in this warfare. And it's a great illustration, and we'll just read that real quickly and remind us of a couple of things, but that we've been where we've been. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Listen, our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood. Another way to say that, it's our struggle, it's not what you see. So flesh and blood, what you see, the circumstances that you're looking at. No, the battle is above. And he says it very, very clearly here. It's not flesh and blood. It's against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, because our struggle is not flesh and blood, I'm going to talk to you about these weapons of righteousness, these weapons that are not of this world. The Bible says, though you walk in the flesh, you don't war according to the flesh. He says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God to tear down these strongholds. They're mighty in God. And these things, the things that God gives you and equips you with is to take down the strongholds of your life, the strongholds of your family, the strongholds around you. So he says, you take up this full armor of God. You take these weapons, you put them on so that you're able to resist in the evil day and having done everything so you might stand firm. So stand firm. This is how you stand firm. You gird your loins with truth. You gird your loins with truth. And a few weeks ago, we said that God's truth is Jesus. It's God's word, and it's a proper interpretation of his word. It's the truth of God. You gird your loins to, and what it says is that you're ready, you're prepared, the battle is here, I've got this truth, it's the foundation of my life, it's God's word, it's what Jesus says, it's an interpretation to godly living that will conform me to righteousness. I'm just ready, I'm confident, based on this deep commitment to the word of God. Commit it with great confidence. I've girded my core strength of my body. I've girded it with the truth of God. And then he says, and not only that, but then put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we saw last week that the breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate of faith and love. We believe the promise of God, and in the promise, that truth, we believe that truth, God begins to work in our lives, and we love like we've never loved before. It's the ethic that comes from the faith. It's righteous living. Yeah, it's imputed righteousness where God declares you're righteous, but it's a righteousness that increases in your life to become more and more like Christ. And we saw last week that when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you'll come against the accusation of the enemy. But he comes to this place and he says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, just real briefly, let me just tell you about the Roman soldier's shoe, okay? The Roman soldier's shoe was two pieces. It was actually a shoe, and then it was a shin guard, okay? It looked like a boot. And this shoe had spikes in it, kind of like the modern-day cleat, okay, but not as, I mean, a lot bigger, okay? 1 inch to 3 inches of hobnails or stakes placed into the leather of this shoe, okay? And what this shoe did, now in this day, in these days, people went around barefooted. They couldn't afford shoes, okay? It wasn't a luxury. And lots of armies went into battle barefooted, okay? Let me just say this right up front. If you're barefooted, you don't have peace. Because these are the shoes of peace. And I don't know about you, but I want to go into life with peace. With shoes. You know, shoes are pretty nice. You know, we like shoes. I like shoes. Okay? I like shoes. I like getting a new pair. You like getting a new pair? Amen. I like getting a new pair. Okay? Some of you ladies got too many shoes. Okay? You got only one spike, right? Heel. And so, shoes very important. Okay? And what the allusion is to is that when you're in war, you want to be able to stand firm and not slip up. When you're a hand-to-hand battle, you can use this shoe to take out a knee, to take out a foot. And then it's a mobility thing. So that when you're running to the war or you're running to the battle, you're not slipping up. And I want to just say this. Just, that's pretty much all I have to say about the shoe. Because when we're in war, what the enemy wants to do is, or in your life, is to slip you up and make you fall. And I'll say this, in the war and in the journey, your peace the peace that God gives you, that the peace that the enemy wants to rob, steal, and kill from you, take from you through the circumstances of your life, when that peace is taken, I'm just going to say, you're not standing firm. You're about to slip up. What I love about this passage we'll get to next week and the week after is that above all, with all this, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. It's the rhema of God that you take up so that when you're standing firm and you're in the battle and you're doing the right things in the battle, guess what you're being, guess what it is that is getting you through? It's your peace. It's your peace. So that the foe is coming, the enemy's coming, it's a horde, it's a trial, it's a difficulty, it's a temptation, but I've got peace on my shoes. I've got peace in my heart that I'm going to withstand this temptation, this accusation of the enemy, the one who comes to destroy. I'm going to stand firm to destroy the destroyer because he's already been destroyed by Jesus. I tell you, when temptation comes and trials come, it's amazing to me how eat up we get with anxiety, stress, how much peace we lose. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got one guy. Everybody else perfect. Okay. Oh, got four. That's the first thing that goes, is our peace. But I've already got the truth, and then I've got faith to believe it. And then I've got a work that comes out of that faith that protects my heart. It protects the lie, and I mean protected by the lies of the enemy. And so what does he want to do? He wants to take your peace away from you. So he says, listen, you got your loins girded with truth. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. Now make sure you've shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, it's interesting that when you look at some warfare stuff in Scripture, like David and Goliath, right? I mean, David and Goliath, and David heads to this giant with such great faith and love for God's word and the truth of God, and he's also coming with peace. I mean, he's looking at a huge foe. He's already been told, you can't go up against this guy. I mean, you're just a youth. He's been a great warrior since his youth. He eats up people like you. No, my God's going to be with me. You see nothing but peace on David, don't you? He's going to the battle line. He's confronting the giant. He's confronting the war, the battle, with this peace of God all over him. And the question we want to ask today is, how do we get that peace? How do we walk in it? How do we walk in the peace in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the trial? Now, I want to ask a question, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask you for your hands. In the last month, how many of you had a period of being a nervous wreck? Anybody in the past? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Did that nervous wreckness do anything to help you out? How many said, you know what? Being a nervous wreck helped out so much, I'm just going to be a nervous wreck next time. Right? I mean, it just was so great being a nervous wreck that the next trial that comes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a nervous wreck, and I'm going to walk in agreement with worry, fear, anxiety, and stress because it just works out for me. No, it didn't work out. It did not work out. You added stuff to your life that shouldn't have been added. There are things that you went into the war and you brought with you baggage of stress and anxiety all along, knowing in your heart, if you know Christ, that you have first of all peace with God. Now I want to talk a little bit about that in a minute. Right now I want to just point you to a couple of things. Let me just say what peace is. Peace in Old Testament and New Testament is a state of tranquility. Now, look at what it says, and it's the exemption from the rage and havoc of war. It's not an exemption from the war. It's an exemption from the rage and havoc of the war. In other words, you've got you're positioning yourself with the shoes of peace to walk into the the turmoil, to walk into the chaos, to walk into the struggle, the temptation, or whatever it is, with this state of tranquility in your heart. The Bible calls it the peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, you made a confession a minute ago, but how many of you experienced the peace that surpasses all understanding? Can I get a hand? Can I get a hand? Yeah, look, all over, look. Did that work for you? Amen. That worked for you. And so when you look at this meaning, it's a state of tranquility in my heart. I'm not being ravaged by this war. I'm not walking in the havoc and the chaos of it. The Bible says that peace, both shalom and the New Testament word, is secure, safe, prospering. There's an ease of heart and mind. The one commentator said it's the tranquility and the state of the soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and content with your earthly lot, whatsoever sort that might be. Peace means that you're right with God, right with self, you're right with most people, and you're wanting to be right, and so you're moving toward it. It's the good news that we're to bring. And the question I'm going to ask today is, what's on your feet today? Is it just barefoot, tender feet that gets worried and anxious at the little peep of the enemy? Ready not to walk in peace, but just ready to be a nervous wreck. I'm just going to say, for you and me, nervous wreck ought not to be. And I didn't mean to rhyme that, but I just did. It just is. It just ought not be. He is saying, listen, you've got the truth. You've got faith. You've got love. These are weapons that come. But then you've also got the gospel, the good news of peace. The good news of peace to have in your heart and also to bring to others. Let me tell you what the gospel peace does. It always does. It's what feet are for. We saw it in the very first message of this warfare series. Let me tell you, peace is the confidence that I have that the enemy is truly defeated, and God has not finished with me yet. The enemy's defeated, and God's not finished with me yet. The enemy is defeated already. I mean, the Bible says that our foe is defeated. He's been defeated at the cross. He's defeated when you come to Christ. He is done, but he's also an enemy that continues to roam. He's also the enemy that can still tempt, the enemy that can still accuse, the enemy that's still doing his work and destroying. But for you and me in the kingdom of God, we have this confidence that what God said about Jesus in Genesis 3:15, when he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he's going to come and crush you on the head, and you're going to bruise him on the heel. We can have this great confidence that the enemy was defeated at the cross when he purchased you and me with his blood. And that's good news. When I'm in the war, I'm putting my faith and my trust in what God's done when he made peace with me. And then the second thing is that peace is the confidence that I have that the enemy is being defeated in my life. In my life. That this trial, this struggle, this heartache, this season is gonna pass. And I want to move through it passing as I pass. I want to pass the test. As I'm being tested, I want to be strengthened. And peace does that, folks. And you know, I know that it seems to elude us almost every day. But listen, when you look at your shoes, and I'm telling you, those shoes that you're talking about, they are distinct. You want to talk about an inch to 3-inch spikes on your shoe? That's distinct. I mean, try walking into a restaurant with that. Everybody's going to look at your shoes. But think about this. Don't enter into a restaurant, but enter into the fray. And everybody's going to see your shoes of peace. And they're going to ask, what's going on with you? Because stuff is happening to you on the outside, but I see nothing but confidence and peace coming from the inside out. Yeah, it's that noticeable. It's that in your face to people who don't get what it means to walk in the peace of God. It's this confidence that says, I am going to see him defeated in my life. And it's what feet are for. Feet are to destroy the destroyer. You know, there's a great passage of scripture about peace, and I think we quoted it last week. We'll quote it again. It's in Romans 16:19. Notice what it says. It says, for the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil, because the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Go back to 19, Greg, for just a moment. I want you to, the report of your obedience has reached to all. I want to stop here for a moment. I struggled greatly for 24 hours of whether or not I was going to preach this message, or I had one just ready that I felt like God said, I want you to wait. But, you know, I feel like I got to stop here and ask this question. Notice what it says. It says, the report of your obedience has reached to all. And maybe I'm just to get to the first two questions of the message that I thought maybe was going to be a change-up this morning. But here's the question. Is there someone in this place that's not being obedient to what God has asked you to do? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? And you might say, well, like what? Well, let me ask you, like what? I don't have to answer that question. Because I want to tell you, I believe the Spirit of God is so real and so alive in this place that the moment I said that, if you're disobedient, you know exactly not what I'm talking about, but what you're thinking about. You've often heard me say, if you've been here a long time, what's the things that God has asked you to do that you've not done? And then the follow-up is, would you make a commitment to run and do the thing that God has asked you to do that you are not standing firm with because you've lost your peace about it, when you should have nothing but peace to do what God's asked you to do? Are you somebody in here living a life that's not pleasing to God? I mean, you just look over your life and the last few weeks or the last few months, and you might say, Mike, yeah, you know, there's some things that come to my heart right now that God has told me to do that I've done before, but I've stopped doing it. I've stopped. And I meant well, and I want to do what God's asked me to do, but I've stopped. And I'm saying, church, Mr., lady, make a commitment to go do what you know is right in your life that God has asked you to do. You say, like what? Well, I don't know. You tell me. What is it that God has told you in the past that you began doing and you've stopped doing it? Maybe you've stopped sharing like you need to share. Maybe you've stopped praying like you need to pray. Maybe you've stopped serving like you need to serve. Maybe you've stopped giving like you know you're supposed to give. Maybe you've stopped forgiving. Maybe you've let the anger come back up after you have forgiven the third time, and the anger's come back up and you're back in that place. Maybe you've started worrying again, and that's what this message is about. But notice what he says to the Roman church, the report of your obedience has reached to all. I'm rejoicing over you. I'm rejoicing over your obedience. Because there's nothing worse than disobedience. to the pagan nor to the believer. Because you and I miss out when we don't get to the places that we know God's equipped us for through our faith to do according to the power of God. Let me ask you a question. What's God asked you to start doing that you've not done? And what's God asked you to quit doing that you've not quit doing? Will you make a commitment to make that change today by the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, one of the great things, not the great things, but one of the, if you want to think about the flesh, one of the things the flesh likes to do is complain and grumble. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever heard God say, quit grumbling and complaining? I hope you have. I hope you have. Why do you want to start back with that? You know, just like being a nervous wreck, does grumbling and complaining, has that added anything to your quality of life? No, it's worsened it. And you grumble about circumstances, and you grumble about your finances, and you grumble about money, you grumble about this, that, the house is 10 years old and needs another paint job, and you're grumbling about that. And I mean, it's just grumble, grumble, grumble. And you don't even know you're doing it. Because you've done it so often. Is there anybody in here right now, right here, that is not doing what God's asked them to do? And you know He's asked you to do it. I'm asking you today to make that right with God today. Don't take another day and miss out. Hey, youth, you're getting ready to go to camp. Don't wait till the last night at the invitation to make it right, whatever you need to make right. You know, it's just such a joy to hear God when even God says, hey, you're wrong here. This is not right here. That's something good. It's not bad. It's something where God wants to correct and wants to change. But He says it. The report of your obedience has reached to all. And I want to ask the question of us today is there anything in my life that I need to give up today, stop doing, or start doing? I want to stop here for just a moment, and I want to just bring you to prayer, a moment of prayer. Would you do that? Would you just bow right now? Just bow right now. Maybe you can pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I have stopped doing some things that you've asked me to do. And that's sin. And right now you're convicting me. Now I know I have everything I need to be obedient to you. I have the truth. I have faith. I have love. I even have these shoes of peace to do what you've called me to do. So right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you forgive me and release me of no longer doing what I'm doing, what I've done? Or Lord, the things that I am doing right now, I should be stopping. And God, so right now, in the name of Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. And I choose by an act of my will and by the power of your Spirit to go from this place to do and live what you've called me to do and how you've asked me to live. I remove from myself, and you might just fill in the blank, lust, worry. I remove from myself anger, unforgiveness. I remove from myself doubt, grumbling, complaining. I'm just going to remove myself from those things, Lord, and I'm going to walk after you. And I'm going to do it with joy because you're a great God who's forgiving me right now, right here. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, in your name for a commitment that would go forth from this place right now, right here, to leave this place in just a few minutes to go do what you've asked us to do, to stop what you've asked us to stop doing, to move to the places, Lord, of obedience in your name. Because, Lord, we want to be obedient. We don't want to be partial obedient because partial obedience is disobedience. God, we want to do the whole will of God because you've equipped us for it and you've given us everything we need for it. And that's what we've been talking about. And so, God, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would empower us to do this. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen and amen. Look at verse 20 again. You're being obedient. I'm rejoicing. And guess what? This God of peace is going to come crush Satan's head under your feet. You're going to participate in my victory. You're going to do this in the name of Jesus. Now listen, peace is the confidence that the enemy is truly defeated. It's the confidence that the enemy is being defeated in my life. And then peace is seeing God destroy the enmity with him that brings us into peace with him. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying here, this is the salvation work of God that God did in your life. When you came to this world unreconciled with God, and then God reconciled to you and made peace with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm believing that. He's destroyed the enmity. Listen, peace destroys enmity. It destroys contention. It destroys grumbling. Listen, peace destroys these things. And therefore, I want to walk in this peace. I want to walk in it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Listen, peace crushes fear. It crushes stress. It crushes worry. It crushes anxiety. Peace gives you a purpose and a forever assignment. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to move through this. And then we're going to finish with this passage of Scripture. Peace is knowing that I have a ministry of peace. Notice what he says in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Now, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, a new man, a new woman, a new son, a daughter. Hey, listen, when you become a new creature, you become a new daddy. You become a new mama. You become a new husband, a new wife. It changes. It's different. And if there's not change in your life after you've come to Christ, maybe you need to look and see if you've come to Christ. Because if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not perfect, just brand new. And watch this. And old things have passed away and new things have come. And that's in a tense that says the thing, the old things, they're done, period. But the new things, they're coming, they've come and they're coming and they're going to keep on coming. In other words, gang, listen, in the war, in the journey, it's always supposed to be new. That's the promise. New and fresh. And all these things are from God. The new creation, the new life with Christ, the new life with God, the old things gone away, the new things coming, they're all from God. They're not from you. They're not from what you do or what you say or what you speak. They're from God. He's the benefactor. He's the one who's given it to you. All these things are from God. Now watch. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Wow. Now, I'm going to say this. I didn't know that about this verse when I was 10 years old. I didn't hear about it until I was probably in my early teens. But I had this great opportunity when I was 10 years old to lead my cousin to Jesus. And he prayed to receive Christ right between the twin beds that I slept in one and my brother slept in the other. Okay. And I noticed something. What's so great about the gospel and the good news of Jesus, that when I was in the habit of telling people about Jesus, I look back over those seasons and I realize that's the most peace that I've ever had. It's when I was not just trying to feel the peace, but I was trying to give the peace away. And I'm going to say this. A couple of weeks ago, I said there's a lot of folks that are ready to come to Christ. And I got two responses from people said, yeah, teach me how to share my faith in Christ. And I would tell you, you have a ministry of reconciliation. When God reconciled you to himself, when Jesus took God's hand and then he took your hand and he brought it together, there was no longer an enmity between the two. You had peace with him. He reconciled you. You know, a big word is irreconcilable differences. You see it in the divorce court. We can't reconcile. Well, let me tell you this. If you're in Jesus, you not only can be reconciled, you have the ministry of reconciliation. Don't forget it. Don't forget it in the worst moments of your relationship. You have the ministry of reconciliation. And what he says here is that this is your assignment. This is your call. It's to be reconcilers, peacemakers, peace brokers. Uh-oh. My glasses broke. Hey, yeah, y'all come on up. We're going to take the offering here, but y'all ignore them, okay? Not until it's passed. Don't ignore it when it's passed, okay? Namely, that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world himself, not counting their trespasses. Hey, Lord, would you bless this offering right now? I just pray you'd bless it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that we'd still be attentive, Lord, as this offering's passed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go and do that. I'm going to keep praying. Go. Yeah, go. So God is in Christ reconciling the world himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then he committed to us the word of reconciliation. And what I experienced as a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old when I began learning how to share my faith with people. And then as I got into high school, I really looked back over and realized that these years were so great. It's because I was living out of the assignment that God gave me as a believer. And it wasn't that I was obnoxious about it, and it wasn't that I was, you know, just desperately telling people. I just made a commitment to it. You have a ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes it shows up in the house. Sometimes it shows up on the square. Sometimes it shows up in youth area. Sometimes it'll show up at camp as a counselor. Sometimes it'll show up when you're on a mission trip. And you know when it's always supposed to show up? Just when you're out and about. Because you're light. And light always overcomes darkness. Amen. He gave you a ministry of reconciliation. I don't know if you know the depth and meaning of this, but please hear me when I say this. That ministry of reconciliation is a part of who Jesus is in your life, and you can't separate it. And some of us have been trying to separate it too long. I'm not here to say, okay, to get you out there and say, start worrying about how you're going to do it. Just confess. I have a ministry of reconciliation according to Christ, and I just want to be used by you. And then watch God work. Just watch God work. I'm not here to guilt you over it. I'm not here to say you got to go tell people about Jesus this week. I'm just saying we have a ministry of reconciliation. God gave it to you as if it was a gift wrapped and said, with Jesus, here, this is yours. And when you took Jesus, you took his ministry with him. You got it. And God will empower you, and God will move you. And this is really what the feet are for. The enemy's crushed every time somebody comes to Jesus. Amen? He's crushed. How lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. Shoes with 3-inch spikes in them, they may not look too pretty, but I want to tell you, it's good news. It's the peace of God. It's peace with God over the enemy, knowing that he is defeated. He'll be defeated in my life. It's the peace that crushes the absolute total things of this enemy that comes to put stress and worry and anxiety on you, and to walk in peace in the war, to know that this is my assignment, this is my calling, and I have the opportunity to be a reconciler today in Christ Jesus. Then he says this, and we finish with this morning. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? Would you do that? peace of God. It is well with my soul as I swing my sword and grip the ground, fighting off the temptation of the enemy, the accusation of the enemy, the destroying purposes of the enemy. I have peace in my soul. It is well with my soul in these trials and in these tribulations and in these struggles. It's well with my soul in this loss. It is well with my soul because of the peace of God in my life. And therefore, not today, not next week, not this month, will I dare even walk in agreement with being a nervous wreck because of who I am in Christ. And what I have on my feet, I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God, I pray for this peace right now. Lord, I ask those right now in the name of Jesus, who came into this place struggling with some kind of enmity with God, with somebody else, some kind of thing that just was not going, it's not going right. And I'm asking God in Jesus' name that the God of peace would crush enemy under our people's feet today, so that we can be equipped to be the reconcilers and ambassadors God's called us to be. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's